Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. And again, welcome to our listeners on SENQ 693 in Brizzy this morning. Ben Davis off again today. Thanks for joining us too on SEN 1170 AM in Sydney, wherever you are on the SEN app across the network. Come and join the conversation this morning. Fair to say, it's a sizable news day in the world of sport. We thought it was going to be a sizable day anyway with Ange Postecoglou. Well, this is how it unfolded from there. I went to bed last night, made sure I'd read a whole stack of stuff about Ange Postecoglou, saw all the comments and started digging deep into that because I thought that's going to be the story of today. Then I woke up early and the whole world has collapsed when it comes to Mergerville with LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. So this is what's happened, folks. LIV Golf and PGA Tour plus the DP World Tour are merging. The details at the moment are sketchy, but the ramifications are enormous. So the war is over for now. The LIV golfers are quite literally laughing all the way to the bank. But there are plenty of PGA Tour players who are not happy on a number of fronts. A lot of people are thinking it's more about the money. There's a number of fronts that they're not happy and they've got good reason to be. So some big questions remain here. What happens to LIV? What does the PGA Tour look like now? What does world golf look like? What happens in Australia, which was waving the flag for LIV Golf just a couple of months ago? And in all of that, what happens to the role of Greg Norman? Well, I'll tell you that this much is clear. The PGA Tour of America is now funded by Saudi cash. The same cash the PGA took a moral stand against when LIV was formed and their players broke away. Those who oppose LIV being funded by what they called Saudi blood money are now facing the questions, where do I stand in this moral debate now and what do I do in all of this next? The bottom line, whether we like it or not, is that the PGA Tour has sold out. And the other bottom line is that world golf is now under the command of Saudi Arabia's money men. The most powerful man in world golf right now is a Saudi Arabian governor of the public investment fund. So if you want to ask the question, who's won? Well, guess who's in control? And there are a lot of questions to flow off the back of that. And we thought that State of Origin picking number 7 for New South Wales was hard enough. Well, let's dive into it. It's Wednesday mornings.
He's the chief sports writer at the Sydney Morning Herald. It's Wednesdays with Andrew Webster.
Ah, Webby. So Ange Postecoglou wakes up this morning and goes, I'm headlines everywhere. LIV Golf who? Holy cow, did you see that coming?
No, I didn't see it coming, and it sounds like almost every single player on the PGA Tour didn't see it coming either.
Until they saw it on Twitter.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable scenes, as they would say in the classics. It's a bit hard to try and process all of it, but just from what I got up early this morning too, Matthew, and yes, read extensively on this issue, the thing that I get out of it is not only did the PGA Tour, or the people who run the PGA Tour, sell themselves down the river, but they sold all their golfers. Mm. And in particular, poor old Rory McIlroy. So, I'm sure there's going to be a rush to say who's the winner out of this. You're right, the Saudi government is.
Yeah.
I always thought the moral high ground that the PGA Tour took was quite laughable because they didn't seem to worry about the human rights issues in China when they pushed towards that market and taking that money. So, you know, it was a bit of selective morality. I didn't have any issue with LIV golfers defecting either. If they wanted to take the money, that's fine. Just say it. Just say it. Mm. So how it all lands and where LIV has a life in this in terms of their tournament, whether the 54-hole tournament and the shotgun starts and the team's format and golf but louder and all that, because remember, golf was on its knees. We had to revolutionise. Do we go back to the old allegedly staid format of the PGA Tour of traditional golf, or I know there's been some suggestion that the team's format's going to kick on, But yeah, talk about picking up an entire sport and dumping it on its head.
Well, look, you go back to what happened with World Series cricket. For rugby league fans, you go back through what happened with Super League and the breakaway. And history, and I've said this quite often when I've been asked on this program, what do you think's going to happen here with LIV and PGL? Oh, I don't know. The only thing I do know is that history will tell you that there will be a settlement someday, that there will be a merge someday. The big questions will be who ends up on top, essentially, and what does it look like afterwards? I mean, remember Super League, remember all that kind of stuff. We went, okay, they're going to come together sooner or later, but what does it look like? What's it called? How do they play? Where is it? I mean, who survives? Who's running the thing? There are so many questions. And they're the questions, some have been answered, but most haven't been. Interestingly, you mentioned teams golf. Out of all of the details, if you try and look for the minutiae of what world golf looks like, the only part that's been named in the statement is teams golf.
Yeah.
That's
but
it.
Very vaguely as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's no new entity name. There will be a new entity, but we don't know what it's called.
No, exactly. Exactly. You're right. It was always going to come together. And just from what I've read today and having followed this in the American press as well, it seemed like the PGA had the upper hand, both in terms of the litigation that's going on between the two, that was going on between the two of them. It's not now.
That's
all over. Funny that. Funny those billions of dollars that you get put in your back pocket. Oh, we're not going to take any more legal action against you.
So actually, just quickly on that, people say, well, who's angry about this? Lawyers.
Yes,
they're about to miss out.
Exactly.
There's a lot of lawyers going,
Dah! There is. But also, and I'm not trying to say this to downplay LIV, but like their ratings were terrible. It certainly felt like there was the PGA was getting the upper hand in this battle. So that's also surprised quite a few columnists that I've been reading this morning about how the PGA just rolled over so quickly. The big question for us is what it means for Australia, because after the success of Adelaide, it was like finally we were part of golf's global vision for the first time in a long time after being forgotten by the PGA for so long. It'll be interesting to see if those power brokers involved with LIV, i.e. Greg Norman, if he does have a role. I find that almost the most fascinating aside out of a lot, what it means for Sharky.
Yes.
But are they going to just drop off Australia now, despite what happened in Adelaide a few weeks ago? That's the big question from an Australian point of view.
So we had the Adelaide event, which was a standout success, and quite possibly, in fact, I would say it was LIV's golf's best event. It was at the Grange in Adelaide, and we know that they signed a multi-year deal with the South Australian government. Multi-year, we're not really sure, but multi-year deal. And that was one of the things that LIV had in its pocket, that they'd signed a lot of these multi-year deals. So that's one of the questions, what happens there? What I've managed to dig out this morning is that the LIV schedule remains intact for the rest of 2023.
Yes.
So there's seven more events. Valderrama, Spain is next. And guess where they finish? Saudi Arabia in November. So that will stay intact as far as we understand to the end of 2023. What happens to the Shark? Well, from what I can dig out this morning, the Shark's been parked out of all this. There is no mention of his name.
He's been caged.
He's been caged at all in the press release that came out this morning. There's been no mention of him in any position, aside from the fact that the Saudis and the public investment fund. So, folks, when you're out there reading, and we got so used to reading LIV and hearing Saudi, you're now going to read PIF, P-I-F. Because that's the government, that's the body, the public investment fund that's taken over. So here's the interesting part. Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour Commissioner, will now be the CEO of this new entity.
Oh, really?
The chairman,
what a surprise.
The chairman,
I wonder how much his salary is per year.
The chairman is Governor Yasir Al-Rumayyan. He is the governor of Saudi's public investment fund, $500 billion investment fund that they've got. That's US, so 750 Australia. He's the chairman of Newcastle United. He's the chairman of Saudi Aramco, which is the third largest public company in the world. He's a former board member of Uber, which the public investment fund has 4% of. And he's the confidant of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. So he's one of the most powerful men in Saudi Arabia and now Jay Monahan's boss. So that shows you, folks, who's in charge of this new entity, no matter what they call it and how it folds out. But where does the Shark, as you rightly say, fit into all of that at the moment? No word.
To be perfectly honest, and I don't want to upset any of the Greg Norman fans out there, but I thought Norman was the biggest problem with Liv because he just loved to rub people's noses in it. He just seemed to be so combative.
Yeah,
and there just had been a real arrogance about him the whole way he's carried himself through the last 2 years. And I think that's what turned people off as much as anything off the Liv format. But, I think it's very interesting that there's not even really a mention of him anywhere at all from both sides of it, including Liv.
Yeah.
So, it'd be interesting to see where the shark lands in all this, but it's a big story, isn't it?
So I mentioned the players. The other part is the interest around the players. So if you ask the question, okay, what happens to all the money that goes to those players that accepted the Liv cash and lots of it? You know what? They keep it. Most of them have already got it. So they will now
spend it,
keep that money, spend it, and they will also be in the position to get those ranking points back and get back into the fold. There's talk perhaps of compensation and or fines for them breaking away and then having to come back, which is weird in itself. What about the PGA players who knocked back the money? You snooze, you lose. I mean, that's as simple as that. It might have been right or wrong in what they did, but you snooze, you lose in this case. Tiger knocked back $1 billion, doesn't really need it. Hideki Matsuyama knocked back $250 million 6 months ago. John Rahm knocked back $300 million. And, of course, Rory has had his neck out there for the last year, getting his head punched in for defending the PGA Tour.
Mm.
Now what do they say to him when a player-run tour didn't even have the position to tell the players before they put this whole thing out on Twitter this morning?
The PGA met with PGA players on Sunday. And there was not a single...
Didn't say a word.
Didn't say a word about it whatsoever. I don't know. McIlroy's the fascinating one to see what he has to say today.
Yeah.
But I think people are sort of beating up on him already and saying that, you know, he's the big loser in all this. Why?
Well, he defended his position.
He defended his position and, yep. he stuck to his guns. And, you know, it wasn't his fault that the PGA sold out the tour and himself.
Mm.
So I don't know how Rory's, in the wrong here.
It's an amazing story.
But it's
going
to be interesting to see what he does. Where does he play?
Well, that's right.
There's nowhere else to play unless he goes and plays in Asia.
That's right. I think there's been a lot of discussion around, well, Rory was taking a pot shot at the people who were accepting Saudi money.
Mm.
Now, I don't know too many times that Rory actually said that per se. I mean, we know that Brandel Chamblee, for instance, has been heavy on that.
Mm.
Well, now those that actually did pose that question and pose that question directly are the ones that have to ask themselves, well, now I'm playing with Saudi money.
Mm.
That's what my tour has done and this future tour that's going to be. So do I play for them or do I walk away from the game? Now, I'm not saying that Rory's in that position, but the PGA owes Rory one heck of an apology.
Yeah.
One heck of an apology. And for him to go out there.
Or some compensation himself.
Or some compensation for him to go out there. But somebody was going to, it was going to end one way eventually.
Did you ever think it was going to end this way?
I didn't know the way that it was going to end.
No, I would have thought it was like...
I knew that it was going to end.
I would have expected like a merged, like a partnership, a joint venture. It'll be like the West Tigers and the St. George Illawarra. That's how I...
That's going well.
At the end of the day, it always comes back to rugby league.
Oh, that's going well. As Fitzy points out on the text line, Adam Scott knocked back $150 million and was the first person that Greg Norman tried to sign. There were plenty that knocked it back, but something was going to give eventually. And it appears as though if you look at this now, the Saudis' deep pockets versus the PGA Tour's ability to fend it off was probably the benchmark of where the crack was going to appear. The PGA Tour's commercial clout was better than LIV Golf's. And not only that, all of the sponsors that they had, Webby, couldn't go and then sponsor LIV Golf at the same time. So they had...
And LIV was struggling for sponsorship too.
Correct. Yeah. So the return on investment there was going to... As much as they've got the deep pockets, the return on investment question was going to come up at a conversation anyway.
Yeah.
And it appears as though that's what's happened. Righto, here's what we need to do here. We're struggling commercially. You guys have got all the commercial clout in this, but we've got the money to break you and break you down. So somewhere in the last however long it's taken for these guys to get to the table, it's escalated quickly. It's a huge story in world sport.
Absolutely.
And on so many levels because of the size and scope of the game itself and the Saudi investment part of it as well. And then what does that mean for other sports? As we know, they've got their fingers in a lot of pies. Holy guacamole. 0457 736 736. You can have your say on that. 1300 01 1170. I mean, like I say, you can just basically comment on what we know so far, because all we know is that the war is over. The Saudis have control of world golf. What happens next is probably the biggest question to come out of this. We'll break that down a little bit later on in the program, because there are some fascinating parts to it. Before we get to our first break, can I just touch on something you wrote about yesterday in the Sydney Morning Herald? Good. Sure. Article too, with one and only Michael Checker.
Yeah.
And the way, so you got hold of him in Buenos Aires?
So look, the reason why I got onto him is because there's a very dedicated Dragon supporter out there that thinks the club should investigate the idea of Michael Checker. I actually got tipped in January that the club, that Michael Checker may, linking Michael Checker to the Dragons job should Anthony Griffin not become not be available, sacked. I mean, that's another way of saying
yes.
Sacked. And he denied it at the time, Check, when I spoke to him in January. Then another approach was made by a supporter called Graham Rush to certain Dragons directors, and he met with Ryan Webb. And this has been kicking along for the last few weeks. So I just called Check, who was in Buenos Aires, just arrived there, where he is coaching Argentina ahead of the rugby championship involving Australia, New Zealand, etc., and then the World Cup later this year. And look, he didn't want to be seen to be pitching for the job, but he wasn't necessarily pitching for the Dragons job, but he was just talking about how, like, he definitely sees value and a challenge in coaching in the NRL sometime. It'd take a huge leap of faith for the Dragons or any other club to do it, but it's going to take, I reckon, for St. George Illawarra. I think they need to at least have the conversation with him. Now, some directors have completely knocked it on the head. Some other directors think they should at least have the discussion. I don't see what they've got to lose.
Mm. And the leap of faith has been taken before with Michael Checker, and it's worked before. So
the thing I like about Checker is that every club that he's gone to, or every state or country that he's, it's always been a rebuild, and he's done it to perfection.
Mm.
It's something that I think they should at least have a discussion with Michael Checker about. I don't think they will, but they could do worse.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of talk this morning that the Shane Flanagan position is edging closer and closer to being the man that they want this time around. But you know what? We went only a week or so ago saying that Jason Ryles will be locked up tomorrow. Look how that one panned out. We just don't know. 0457 736 736. So that covers LIV Golf. You can have your say on that. 1300 01 1170. What do you think about this whole deal? The PGA Tour, has it sold its soul to the Saudi cash? Do they owe the sporting world and a lot of players in particular one big apology? And where would you like to see Greg Norman, if at all, play a part in this new entity? You can have your say on that, and we'll also dig into the other rugby league issues that are on the table this morning right here on SEN.